Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we've sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Amen. We join in chanting the intro together.
And give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out for me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and my arm may wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. And they who dwell in it will die in like manner. About my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today comes from the 138th chapter, and we will read it responsibly. I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Lord, God,
I
sing
your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple.
And give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and for your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength of soul you increased.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord.
For they have heard the words of your mouth,
and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
But the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble,
you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hands against the wrath of my enemies.
And your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands.
The epistle today comes from the book of Romans, the 11th chapter. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been in his counsel, or who has given a gift to him, that he might be repaid? For him, and through him, and to him, are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measures of faith God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, or many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy in the proportion of our faith, if serves in our serving, then one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you're able, I invite you to stand in honor of Jesus' words in the Holy Gospel, and as we sing the Alleluia. According to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?"
And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now, having heard God's word, we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, from God, light and light, very God and very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us on the cross. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come in with glory to judge both the living and the dead, who is sitting on the right hand of man. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and life. Thank you.
Jesus.
Amen.
You recognize Jesus? He's not wearing a mask like we are here today, or like those thugs that are roaming the streets of our city. His disciples have been with Jesus for over 2 years when this gospel reading was occurring. From the very start of his ministry, it's been the Lord's desire that they come to know who he is and understand his mission. There were times when the disciples seemed to get who Jesus was. Nathanael early on declared Jesus is the Son of God simply on the basis of Jesus telling him that he had seen him from a long way off. After Jesus' first miracle of turning water into wine, his disciples believed in him. Maybe they were drunk. And seeing other miracles, such as the calming of the sea and Jesus walking on the water, the disciples worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." But not until Jesus is finishing his mission in Galilee, he and his disciples were on their way to this retreat city of Caesarea Philippi, or Banias that you heard of today, as a human being declared Jesus to be the Christ. And it came in response to a question Jesus asked. He said to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Now, all of us who proclaim to be Christians have heard the gospel, and by the Holy Spirit's power, we confess Jesus to be God. True and foundational confession of the church is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now let me set the scene for today's message. It was at the very northern border of what had been Canaan, long before specified to be the tribe of Dan, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus comes along with his disciples, and it was here that he would reveal to them that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God. Now, this region of northern Canaan was populated by Gentiles. Idol worship dominated. And nearby, the city of Banias, today it's called Banias, was dedicated to the worship of idols, particularly to the Greek god Pan. It was a place of rocky outcroppings, caves, sculptures of dead idols, along with columns, pools, and heated spas. No doubt to these common fishermen and simple menfolk, this place must have been spiritually and even a little in awe foreboding to them, kind of like a place like Las Vegas or Washington, D.C. would be for us today. Now, Jesus was concluding his Galilean ministry. The people who heard him speak and saw the miracles had wondered and marveled. Undoubtedly, the disciples knew what was being said about their teacher Jesus. So Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" Jesus uses his own name for himself, Son of Man, because he intends to tell them about his passion. It was generally understood from Old Testament prophecy that the promised Messiah, the Savior of Israel, would be the Son of God. Now, the answers that the disciples reported were not necessarily bad. Although Herod had not seen Jesus, from what he had heard, he thought Jesus was John the Baptist reincarnated. The people thought of Jesus in the line of the prophets of the Old Testament. There are hints of his passion in Elijah and Jeremiah, who were those who suffered. John had even been beheaded. Now, as in Jesus' day, many people today think of our Lord as only some important religious figure, kind of a guru or teacher as an example. Some even say he made human mistakes. Obviously, they don't know him. He is the Christ, the Messiah, foretold for centuries and ages throughout God's word. And at his birth, the angels told the shepherds, "For unto you this day is born in Bethlehem Christ, the Lord." Jesus must be confessed to be the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. All disciples need to know who this Christ is. The mission cannot move forward unless believers in him confess him as the Christ. We need to know and confess that Jesus is the Christ if we are to be saved. Jesus asks his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" All along he was leading up to this question. He wants to know what these men, his closest friends, think. And Peter boldly replies, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he speaks for all of the disciples. Now, we know Peter's reputation as being somewhat impetuous. It was Peter who told Jesus to tell him to come out of the boat onto the water to him. Later, during Jesus' passion, Peter refuses to have Jesus wash his feet, but then later asks him for a whole bath. Later, he says he will never deny Jesus, but soon at the high priest's palace, he vehemently denies that he ever knew Jesus. There's a bit of Peter in all of us. Thankfully, our Savior is patient with us, and he invites us to repent and say that we love him. The Bible tells us that no one is able to say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells Peter that his confession made on behalf of the 12 comes by revelation of the Holy Spirit. His words to Peter are a great blessing. He says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." We have the revelation of Scripture. The prophets and the apostles speak to us through the Bible. Peter must have had these words of Jesus in mind when he wrote about the Bible being inspired in his own epistle. He says, For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, Martin Luther begins by saying, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Ghost is by the gospel." There are many Christians who find this hard to say because by nature we want to do something for or take part in or take some credit for our own salvation. But we can't. The Holy Spirit must and does do it for all who believe. By the preached word and the power of the sacraments, we have forgiveness and faith in Jesus. By his power, we are able to confess that he is the Son of the living God. This confession that Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, is the Christ is foundational to the building of the church. St. Paul tells us that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets when he writes to the church at Ephesus. He also writes to the Colossians, it is in the word of Christ that we are rooted and established. Jesus responds to Peter's confession by calling him by his name and reminding him that his name means rock. Peter speaks for himself and the apostles. The confession he makes is rock solid. The church is not founded on any person except Jesus Christ. By this confession that he is the Christ, by the witness and testimony of the apostles, Jesus builds his church. He also promises that he will later give the keys of heaven to the church. And he did. When Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection on the night of that first Easter, he said to them again, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld." Now, these keys we as the church have received, they are the preaching of the gospel and the proclamation of forgiveness to all who repent. They open up heaven to repentant sinners, and they bind the unrepentant. And hell, too, is locked in another way. The grave threatens with death and would hold all who enter it, but its gates cannot hold those who belong to Christ. All of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, that we, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. By Jesus' very death on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later, Christ has freed us from the death and from the grave. The saying is true from 1 Corinthians, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" With Christ, our enemies are overcome. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh threaten us constantly. They would have us give up and despair. The unrepentant remain slaves to sin. Christ has come to free us, and he liberates us. Right after what was read earlier, Jesus will tell his disciples that he must suffer and die. That is why the Son of Man has come into the world. Only the God who became man, Jesus, is the true Savior of the world. He keeps his promises. He fulfills the Old Testament prophecies. He suffered and died, shedding his blood so that we might have eternal life. Just as Jesus gathered his first disciples and showed them the way, he also calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us by his Spirit. He washes, feeds, helps us through life. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to us, but the ministry of the gospel that we are his and live under him in his kingdom forever. Amen. Now the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till he returns again in glory. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to please stand and pray for the church.
Having heard the word proclaimed, let us pray for ourselves, all the faithful, and for all the people as they have need. for all people, that they may have faith in Christ and heed the voice of God's calling by his word. For the church, that the people of God may pursue righteousness with peace and joy in their hearts. And for all pastors and their ministry of the word and sacrament, and for all vocations of the ministry, that the lives of God's people may redound to his voice, to his praise and glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, Congress, governor, and all civic leaders in their pursuit of peace and unity. For all judges and magistrates in their pursuit of justice with mercy. And for those who protect us from violence and preserve order here and everywhere. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all mobile professions and for the flourishing of the arts and music, for favorable weather and the fruits of the earth, for those unemployed, poor, homeless, hungry, and all people in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families and children, single adults and youth, for those who teach and those who learn, that they may advance in wisdom and grace, and for the catechumens and those who teach the faith to them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the victims of disaster and for those stricken by illness or infirmity, for the aged and the infirm, as well as those in nursing homes and assisted living facilities, for those who grieve the loss of those who they love, and for those who met with sudden death, and especially for those who have requested our prayers, and those that we now need in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the work of God's kingdom in this place, for our faithful support of the church and the renewal of our parish life through the means of grace, for our communion this day upon the life-giving body and blood of Christ, and for our own growth in grace, that we may attain to the full stature of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Be merciful to us, O Lord, and hear our prayers. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be led into all truths and be steadfast in the confession of Christ. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Continue by singing the Common Doxology, hymn 805. Folks to you, so you turn around and face the congregation for just a moment.
This is Mr. James. He's in our 2-year-old room and bossed around by Miss Sue all the time. This is Miss Heather. She's in our 2- and 3-year-old room. This is Miss Desi, another one that's bossed around all the time by Miss Sue. She's great at doing whatever I ask her to do. She is everywhere. The only one she's not room, she's not as a kid. But otherwise, she's everywhere. This is Miss Jen. She's also one of
Yes, you are.
Awesome here.
Oh,
she is actually our new friend in the room. She's also been in the 2-year-old room, and she's one of our trainers that kind of gets everybody trained up to be at this great place. This is Miss Jamie. She and I are going to serve this whole thing 6 years ago. It's been a lot of fun, and I just appreciate all that she does. She's with our babies now, which she absolutely loves. This is Miss Deanna. She is our principal. She's been with us for a whole year. This is her real shade. And they have been so great to have her on our team. She's our principal, and she does a phenomenal job with our school. And we're just excited, but as you can tell, we're all one and the same. So we all work together. She does a great job with our little child, too. So we're excited to have her. And this is Miss Missy. She's brand new to our staff. She's our first through fourth grade teacher. She brings a lot of energy, a lot of fun, and these kids that are first through fourth grade are going to have a phenomenal year. And we are very excited to have her. We have Miss Lindsay, Miss Serafina, Miss Abby, Miss Jade, Miss Mariah, Miss Nancy. Is anybody with them? Okay, so all of those that could not be with us for a variety of reasons. They do a phenomenal job throughout our whole early childhood. Miss Jade is usually with our school age program. They all just do a great job. So we're very excited to work. I'm never excited for school to start. we are very excited to continue the Northern Citizen Club with all this craziness that's going on, and we have some new days that are starting in October. So we're just very excited to be able to be here. Thank you for all your love, for all your support, and everything that you do for us. If you ever have any questions about what we're doing here at CLC and Holy Trinity Church and School, I would love to answer all of your questions. So anytime you have a question about what we're doing, please bring it to your hand, Ms. Deanna, who will be happy to
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Congregation, according to the church's usual order, these men and women have been called to the office of professional child care worker, principal, administrator, teacher, and director. These offices have been established in love by the church to support the office of the holy ministry. To assist the faithful in their God-given vocations, these men and women have prepared for this office by prayer and study. They've been examined and declared ready to undertake this sacred responsibility and public trust. Let us hear the word of God concerning these offices. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Again, but Jesus called to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so on you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now I ask you all, do you believe and confess the canonical books of the Old and New Testaments, be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice, and so answer I believe. You believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds, as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and do you reject all the errors which they condemn? If so, answer yes, I believe and confess. You confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession to be a true exposition of Holy Scripture and a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. You confess that the apology of the Augsburg Confession, the small and large catechisms of Martin Luther, the small Paul articles, the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope, and the formula of the Concord, as these are contained in the Concord, are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith. So answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
You solemnly promise to serve God's people in your office in accordance with Holy Scripture and in accordance with these confessions. So answer, yes, I promise, with the help of God.
Yes, I promise.
Will you, trusting in God's care, seek to grow in love for those you serve, striving for excellence in your skills, and adorn the gospel of Christ with a godly life? If so, answer, I will, with the help of God.
I will, with the help of God.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the confession and the solemn promise of these men and women who have been called to these offices. I ask you now, in the presence of God, will you receive them, show them fitting love and honor, and support them by your gifts and your firm prayer? So answer, then we will, with the help of God. May the most merciful God strengthen you and assist you always. Are you ready and willing to assume these offices and work involved?
Yes.
Or yes. Or I am.
Okay.
I commission you to the office of principal, director, teacher, child care professional, and install you now at Holy Trinity Lutheran School and Concordia Learning Center in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gracious and most merciful Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you have given your people diverse and singular gifts. We thank you for providing men and women in your church to assist in the office of the Holy Ministry, to support Christians in their vocations. Grant your Holy Spirit to these professionals and adorn them with wisdom and power on high, that they may serve faithfully in their work to the honor and glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace and joy. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and bless you and strengthen you for your faithful service in His name. You may be seated. Thank you all. We continue with the service of the sacrament. You're able and invite you to see how. Lord, be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary, and we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him in the death that we might not die eternally, because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, I'm going to go to the hospital.
soon.